This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, Julian Ng, Kusu Chuang, and myself, Sharad Kutin, with the top business stories of the day. Two Fs, the Fed and Facebook. And we're going to look at that. The Fed.
The Fuffers.
Okay, so the Federal Reserve of the U.S., and a lot of talk, of course, about whether it's going to raise interest rates at the end of the year. And, of course, some analysts are, advising caution. Maybe the Fed shouldn't sort of hem itself in. But, Julian, what's the story there now?
Well, they kept rate unchanged, but that's not something we didn't know already because this is just 1 week before the U.S. election and the Fed shouldn't be in a position to spoil the election results. But also comments that I think the Fed is taking a very close look at what happens in the election, which it usually doesn't. You know, it would usually just brush the election event off because they focus more on economic data. But this is no ordinary election because the prospect of a Trump presidency is a major risk factor for the market. So they have to look at this kind of thing. And I think it was a correct decision to not raise rate this time, to wait and see. The consensus is that by December, very, very high chance of raising it by 25 basis points.
Well, according to the commentary, there was no mention of the uncertainty related to the US elections. And of course, the FOMC message, therefore, is that it makes decisions entirely independent of politics. But can they do that? Because when you look at it, the markets have been roiled by turbulence and volatility in the last few days. The fear index, the VIX, is now at its, near the zenith experienced when the Brexit decision was made. So I think idealistically the Fed wants to be independent, but realistically on the ground, the markets behave in a totally related way.
You know, what's interesting about some of the stats that are coming out, equity strategists at Barclays estimated the market will drop 11 to 13% if Trump wins and perhaps go up 2 to 3% if Clinton wins. And this is, for me, it's kind of like counterintuitive. Trump, the billionaire, the entrepreneur.
Exactly.
Frightening markets where the establishment, kind of career politician, bureaucrat, is reassuring the market. Yeah, what's going on?
And you add on the fact that Clinton also wants to raise taxes for the rich. I mean, Wall Street wouldn't like that kind of thing, right? But, you have to consider Trump being an overall risk contributor to the market. I mean, he might be Republican, but he's saying all sorts of things that increase the overall political risk of the markets and the United States. But there is some good news, though, because a lot of the economists and Fed themselves have mentioned that, there are signs of inflation going up. The jobs market also very good. They've added a lot of these hundreds and thousands of jobs every month. They reported that. So coupled with that amazing rally in commodities, I'm not sure if we are seeing green shoots of global growth. I mean, China also reported very surprising October PMI numbers. PMI is the Purchasing Managers Index, which tracks buying sentiments of managers across China, right? And that was surprisingly high in October. Spoke to Ben LeBrun this morning, and he thinks that he's not holding his breath. He's just got to wait and see.
Chuang, what about this whole question of gold? Gold is also rising on these fears. Is gold one of those, is it where money goes when they fear, volatility in the
absolutely,
market?
Absolutely, absolutely. Gold has been rallying the last few days. And as well as gold, some other alternative investments. I'm citing one of the stories here. Basically, the Mexican peso and activity in the
iShares. That's a Trump proxy.
It is.
The Mexican peso.
It is. Because he's so against Mexican immigration.
He wants to build a wall. Them like what? Criminals and rapists and
everything. They're bad. Jules, they're just bad people, I think.
Jules will like this because this is an ETF. The iShares MSCI Mexico capped ETF has become a popular proxy because in the last few days it's seen $94 million in outflows. So
I don't just like any strange, exotic ETF. I mean, you got to
choose your ETFs.
Yes. Listen to a very nuanced argument, and you're going to hear more of that after the 9:30 news on Ringgit and Good Sense.
That's okay. Right. So, yeah.
Okay, we look now at Facebook, which has profits soaring, but there are concerns about growth and sustainability.
Yeah, you know, I read another headline that said that this is the 15th or 16th consecutive month that Facebook has grown its revenue, a very far cry from the days when it just listed. At the time, investors were quite disappointed with its performance, and investors were wondering at the time how Facebook would make its money, because remember that when Facebook was listed, people were just moving from their desktops to their mobile, and how would that Facebook page fit into your mobile phone, right? And that's all in the past now. Facebook is already talking about, hey, don't expect this growth to continue indefinitely. We will still grow, but not at such staggering rates that we are growing now. And investors are and people are already very comfortable about looking at their Facebooks on their mobile phones.
I'll give you some numbers here, okay? Daily active users, 1.2 billion people. Monthly mobile active, monthly active users, 1.8 billion people. And monthly active users, mobile, 1.7 billion people. That's about 25% of the global population. How much more can you grow? I mean, be realistic, right? That you know, so.
But haven't they also taken on things like Instagram? I mean, in the era of mergers and acquisitions, their acquisition of Instagram has been a bit of a success, right?
Well, that Instagram was nothing compared to their acquisition of WhatsApp, right? Instagram was bought for $1 billion and WhatsApp, another $20 billion there. So it's become such a behemoth. So it's very difficult to say how these things will contribute to the overall revenue growth. They're also putting a lot of their bets on TV, how they're going to capture that TV ad dollar market. Also virtual reality, because they made that $2 billion acquisition of Oculus not too long ago.
Is there a difference, guys, between the medium and the message of the content? Facebook is not a content creator, and it does rely on things like, you know, the content creators, right, for stuff. Is that going to be an issue for them moving forward?
Well, actually, if you think about it, not a lot of these media companies are content creators, right?
No, they don't at all.
Well, television is, right?
They just provide the platform.
Well, Netflix, yeah.
Yeah. But the, you know, the Facebooks and the YouTubes of this world rely on their users to produce content. I think to some extent Facebook have actually entered content generation deals with very popular people like celebrities and actors, and then they share revenue from the platform. But that's only, I mean, not, you know, I'd like a Netflix, for example. That's the extent of their content creation efforts.
Yeah, I think the content space is extremely competitive because of the presence of Netflix and people like that, Hulu, NBC, and all these people, Walt Disney, that come up with their own content. It'd be interesting to see Facebook's strategy on how they're going to attack this market. But they have a considerable heft behind them with that 1.8 billion people that are looking at the Facebook through their phones every day. They must be able to exploit that in some way.
Yeah. So today, everybody's a content creator, as it were. We'll have more top business news after this at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.